This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
And we are back. It is 7:09. It is now time for our Spotlight segment on Long Island. Well, the state budget is in, a record amount type budget, and many are kind of questioning exactly where those dollars will be going. Here to talk about it, Doug Kellogg, he of Reclaim New York, the fine nonprofit fiscal organization that certainly is the watchdog of all dollars here in the state. Doug, it's always good to have you back.
Great to be with you, Jay. Thanks for having me on, and congrats to everybody who survived another tax day in New York State.
Boy, I'm telling you, $153 billion. You know, a lot of questions here, Doug. What was the reaction on your end?
On the total budget, it could have been worse. Let's get that out of the way. First, we saw an internet sales tax expansion, which is a complex policy which would have simply made shopping online more expensive for New Yorkers, and it would have done so unconstitutionally. So we were glad to see that policy fall by the wayside. There were additional fee proposals, things like raising fees at the DMV. Those were killed in the negotiating process. So it could have been worse. But overall, we're looking at a budget that, again, it puts Albany insiders first. I mean, I don't know how any New York taxpayer can look at this budget and think that it's looking out for them and trying to find a way to make it easier for them to afford New York, because it's not. It's going to make it more unaffordable. But look, all the economic development councils that have had very dubious results, the Buffalo Billion, which spurred indictments, literal slush funds, the same slush fund that Sheldon Silver was hit for abusing, those projects, those slush funds, they're getting plenty of taxpayer cash, tallying up into the billions of dollars total. But New Yorkers can't get broad tax reform. There's no ethics reform. So what's the message being sent from Albany? It's clear. You know, they're off in their own world, in their own bubble, in their closed-door negotiations, and they're not really that concerned about New Yorkers.
You know, two things that kind of stand out to me on this whole thing. Republicans really hardly batted an eyelash over this. I was kind of questioning that myself. And also, you know, when you think about it, you do some research here. You have, what, $153 billion budget here? Weren't there other states that have a little bit of a larger population than New York spending a lot less? I'm talking Florida. How do they run on an $82.5 billion budget with a larger population than the state of New York at this point in time? And, of course, New York nearly doubling that.
Yeah, Jay, we use that Florida example because
how does that happen?
So similar. Look, they don't even have an income tax, and they managed to do it. I think, you know, there's a number of factors. A big difference is if you look at the Medicaid programs, New York just has a much larger list of things that are, you know, may not be completely vital health services that get covered under Medicaid. But it's an overall culture, one where in New York they look to keep increasing spending. They see increasing spending every year, but just not doing it that much as a big accomplishment. And if as long as that attitude reigns, then we're going to keep seeing the bill for taxpayers get larger and larger over time. Whether there are tax cuts one year or tax increases or no big tax changes, ultimately the bill keeps rising. So, you know, at some point that's going to come due.
And listen, you know, you can make the case regarding education. We've said this, you know, Long Island school districts are going to see a lot of dollars. But, you know, you scratch your head a little bit, you know, this $1 billion or so that's being funneled in to education, which brings it, what, to about $25, $26 billion overall. Mm-hmm. But when you look at performance issues, as far as the grades and the testing and everything else, we kind of lag in that area. And you wonder, you know, if we're improving education from a fiscal standpoint, when are we going to see the results?
Well, when the money comes out, the money goes out, that's the time to start talking about more accountability and what the performance is that we're getting from the school system. So certain localities are managing to fight through the way the public school system works now and do okay. And that's all right if they want to keep doing that. But year after year, Albany's throwing more school aid at the issue. Recently, we saw our number for eighth grade students their performance on math and English go down to 34th in the U.S. So, I mean, that is a below average result for the state that spends the most per pupil. And when these negotiations are going on in Albany, and look, they're not public. So we don't know how seriously they're considering this stuff. But the New Yorkers need a chance to get involved in this process and say, hey, don't forget that we should be talking about some results, some improvement in the performance we're getting in schools being attached to this billions more that we're sending at schools, not just an argument about exactly how many billions more get spent.
You know, it's interesting, and you guys certainly look at this stuff a lot closer than I do, but, the free college tuition is somewhat skeptical on my end because there's such a disparity as far as income. I mean, let's face it, Doug, if you're making $40,000 a year or $125,000 a year, guess what? It's the same deal as far as what one would pay. And you're still going to get an increase in college costs. I mean, even though you're getting the free tuition, isn't that? I mean, shouldn't if you're making $40,000 as compared to $125,000, shouldn't you get more of a bump as far as some of the tendencies in a positive way? What this free college tuition would equate to?
Well, the tuition plan, it's starting to come out. All the flaws in this tuition plan, they're starting to become evident. Which is unfortunate. There wasn't enough of a serious discussion before this thing was passed for folks to really square up with this. Because, look, it's chasing a headline rather than chasing good policy. The tuition assistance that already existed in the state is what's really helping the neediest students. This plan won't do much to help them at all. And as you alluded to, there can be folks who make a very moderate income who end up seeing their tax dollars go to somebody who makes a six-figure income and makes it free for their kid to go to college. But of course, nothing's actually free. Taxpayers are paying for it all. And when you think about Long Islanders, this is really the rawest deal for them, because when you're living in an environment with a high cost of living, there's no adjustment based on cost of living for this this new entitlement. Long Island taxpayers who are making what may look like a decent income on paper, they're paying more and more taxes. And they're going to be sending kids upstate to college with their tuition comped by Long Island taxpayers from families who are making very good incomes for their regions upstate. And so it's just not a thinking policy. It's a policy that was built to chase a headline. And the result is we get something that, when you talk about it in short sound bites, somebody might think it sounds okay, but it's not really changing that much. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And the bill we're going to get for it could run into the billions of dollars. The governor never released the formula he used to come up with his more moderate $163 million per year estimate. So we'd expect to see those costs go up. And it's completely unfair to be passing policy like that without an honest examination of what it will cost and what the benefits might be.
Minute or two left. Talking with Doug Kellogg, Reclaim New York here in the spotlight. No mandate relief to help trim those property taxes, which is what everybody cares about here on Long Island, really. No regulatory reform, health care taxes, it just goes on and on. But the most egregious thing I saw real quickly, Doug, was ethics reform. We talked about it with the pensions and the stripping of them for corrupt politicians. What about putting in some term limitations here? Make it a limit for those who are holding a top priority positions, a committee chair, somebody of that nature. Nothing involved here in this budget.
Right. Look, that would be a great step. I think the real frustration that the near 90%+ of New Yorkers have been demanding ethics reform want to see, I think, is a show of some kind of good faith from Albany. And when they can't even implement some oversight for these regional economic development councils, which we call the Hunger Games, when they can't place some oversight over them, make them subject to transparency law, do any contracting oversight. I mean, these proposals, and the legislature did come up with some decent ones. They just get lost in the negotiating shuffle. As you said, term limits, they get lost in the shuffle
something
as well.
Yeah.
That New Yorkers have to wonder, again, where the heck are Albany's priorities?
We don't know.
When you see something like this, it seems to be insiders and lobbyists. And even then, I mean, the ride-sharing measure that they got, which Uber paid millions and millions of dollars
for. Well, that's a whole other story.
Donations.
Yeah.
There's flaws in that policy. So you see, it's just an example of the price you have to pay to get Albany to move.
Plenty of flaws.
Something in your favor.
Doug Kellogg, Reclaim New York. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jay.